Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, so Pastor Brent said, I've been coming here for a while, since 2011. So I've been born and raised in Crete. I'm a single mom, if you don't know me. I have Christopher. If you don't know me, everyone knows Christopher. That's how they know me. Oh, you're Christopher's mom. That's how I'm known. I work at assisted living facility as a medication aide, CNA and stuff. So like I said, I started coming in 2011. It wasn't until 2012 that I really got it. You know, I really committed my life to Christ. I ended up getting baptized again because I wanted to do it for the right reasons. I want to die to my old life and have a new life. And it's been a crazy journey. But I'm here now, and God took me here. And, like Pastor Brent said, I have my credentials now. So that's kind of where I am. So I recently just went to Camp Lexington as a dorm leader. This was my fourth year. Show of hands, even adults, how many have you been to the campgrounds in Lexington? Quite a few. That's awesome. It's an amazing, amazing camp. It's just super great. If you haven't been there, I just suggest you check it out. It's always a blast, but when you come back, you're really tired. you're pretty tired. And I had just spent a week there, and my son, he was staying with my parents because he wanted to go to the next week with a younger group. So I let him do that. So I had missed him. You know, I hadn't seen him for a while. And before I went, I had bought tickets to the Salt Dogs game because he's a Cub Scout. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm really tired. I'm like, you know, but I want to spend time with him because I wouldn't see him the next week. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go, you know, and I go, and they have fireworks. So it's kind of late. By the time we leave Lincoln, it's already close to 11:30. So I'm driving, and you know, when you drive and you get just really tired and you feel like you're coasting and everything's a blur and you're just, you know that you're moving, but you just don't, you're just spaced out. So I'm driving, like I said, I'm getting really tired, and I'm getting close by, so I'm actually, like, I live right over there, so, so I'm really close by, and I doze off a little bit, and all of a sudden, I look in the back of my mirror, and what do you think I've seen? Pretty lights? Yes. Yes. Last week when I preached, they said, oh, you've seen Jesus take the wheel. I'm like, that'd be awesome. But no, unfortunately, it wasn't what I wanted to see. I seen red and blue lights. And so the officer, you know, I pull over, the officer gets out, he comes over, and I'm thinking, I'm like, what did I do wrong? I knew I was not speeding. I knew I wasn't. And he comes and he's like, ma'am, do you know what you did? I said, no. And he's like, well, I seen you and you were kind of going like this a little bit on the white line. So I was worried. I'm just making sure you're okay. You know, are you okay? I said, yes. You know, I apologize. I'm just really tired. It's been a long week. And I just came back from Lincoln and I'm just exhausted. And of course, then Christopher, I love him. You know, he wakes up and he's like, mom, were you speeding again? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, so at that time, I'm like, officer, I don't know this kid. He got in my car. Please take him. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that, but I might have been thinking it just a little bit. So the officer leaves, and I drive away. But, you know, I just think, I'm like, wow. Like, what an eye-opener. You know, how it's sometimes, like in life, too, we can kind of coast, and we don't know what's going on, and we need to wake up because there's dangers into that. And so that's just kind of really, that moment just really woke me up. Just going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for you this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you open our hearts and our mind and our ears, so we can hear what you have for us, God. I just pray that we can rid all distractions this morning to hear from you, that you would work in our hearts and our lives today, Father God. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in a few minutes, we'll be looking over the life and the story of Samson, how he knew God, he had a relationship with God, but because of obstacles, he kind of drifted away, and it took something to wake him up, to refresh that call on his life, to keep him alert. So if you want, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Judges 16. First, I'm just going to kind of give you an overview of his life and his story, and then we're going to kind of, I'll take you there. So, but how many times do we do that? How many times in life do we do that? Maybe as a follower of Jesus, we start out strong. We know where we're going. And then maybe because of a temptation or something that happens in our life, it kind of knocks us down. We start to coast. We are just in neutral. We're not really going anywhere. We start to doze off, and we forget that we have a destination. We forget God's call on our life. We forget what we're doing. And if we don't wake up and we don't stay alert, we might even miss it. We need to wake up. We need to be alert. So sometimes we need to get pulled over. Look at your neighbor and say, dude, you need to get pulled over. Come on. Now say, wake up. We need to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we need to do it to remember God's promise for us. God doesn't want us to coast. He wants us to be awake. He wants us to keep fighting the good fight, to keep pressing forward, to not go backwards, to finish the race. Now we're going to look over the life of Samson and how God called him and God had a promise for his life, but how he drifted away and how he came back to God and how God used him in that moment in a big, big way. So I'm going to give you just a little background of his life. In Judges chapter 13, we read of a man named Manoah from the tribe of the Danites and his wife, and they were barren, which means they were not able to have any children. But the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, I know you are barren, but you shall have a son, and you should not be drinking or anything unclean. A razor should never touch his head. Don't give him a haircut, because your son will be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he will begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. God had a purpose for this baby before he was even born. God called him. Then Manoah's wife had a son, and she called him Samson. The young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And then in chapters 14, we see Samson went to Timnah and seen a daughter of the Philistines and told his mom and dad, I want this girl. And his mom and dad didn't really want him to do that. They didn't approve of it, but he wasn't going to budge. And he said, get her for me. You know, she is right in my eyes. His mom and dad didn't know that God would use this. He would use it against the Philistines. Sometime later, the Spirit of the Lord was on Samson, and he tore apart a lion with his bare hands. Isn't that crazy? Could you imagine that? Just like, that's better than the Hulk. That's just like, whew, that's awesome. That's the power of God. But then a few days later, there was honey in the lion, and he ate some and took some to his parents, but didn't tell them where it came from. Then he told the people a riddle, but they couldn't solve it, so they paid his wife to get it out of him. And after 7 days, after she kept pressing him and pressing him, he told her. So the people came, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson as they were attacking him, and he struck them down. He was angry and went back to his father's house, and his wife was given away. Then Samson went to go back to his wife, and her dad would not let him. And a fight broke out with the Philistines, and they burnt his wife. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to Samson and said to the Philistines, and ordered them to get him and bind him and bring him to them. As they did, the Philistines rushed to him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and they put ropes, and the ropes on his arms became like flax, and they melted off. Samson found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men of it. That's crazy. Could you imagine that just with a jawbone? Samson judged Israel the days of the Philistines for 20 years. From the beginning, we see Samson, a called man of God, knowing his purpose, but at times, because of his sinful nature, he would start to coast, and then after having many wake-up calls, he would again come back to the Lord, and the Lord would be with him, and the Lord would save him. Then after this, after his wife died, he found a prostitute, and then he had many more troubles with the Philistines. The Philistines told her, and then he met a woman, and what's her name? Good old Delilah. The Philistines told her to get him to tell her where his great strengths come from, and that they, each of them, would pay her 1,100 pieces of silver if, you know, she would tell them. And she would do whatever it takes to get him to do it. Samson tricked her twice, and when the Philistines came, he defeated them right away. So we're going to look at chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And I think it should be up on the screen for you. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the seven locks of my head with a web and fasten it tight with a pen, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the seven locks of his head and wove them into a web. And she made them tight with a pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. Then Delilah thought that she had him. But he woke up and he defeated the Philistines again. Now she was super mad, and she used his love for her against him. She was saying, "If you really love me, then you will tell me. You will do this. Tell me." And she pressed him just like his first wife. And because of his weakness, he didn't learn from the first time. He gave into that weakness. And he told her. And she went and she told the Philistines she knew her secret. And at night, she made him sleep on her lap. And a man came in and he shaved off all his hair. Then his power had left him. But Samson didn't know that the Lord's power was not on him anymore. Then the Philistines, they got him, and they gouged out his eyes and bound him with bronze shackles. Verse 22, we see, it says, "But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." They were having a party, and they called Samson in to entertain them and made him stand between two pillars. Samson leaned against the two pillars, one hand on each of them. The house was full of men and women. The lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof, there was 3,000 people watching him, mocking him. I could just imagine, you know, what they were saying, like, "Where's your God now?" You know, maybe even spitting on him. Who knows? So let's see how it ends. Verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon him and all the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed were more than those who killed during his life. Wow. He did whatever it took. He was willing to give up his life here on earth for that moment, for God to use it. It says that in that moment, God used it, that more people were killed at that moment than when he was alive. So even though Samson coasted through many times, he fell into temptations and he gave into his weaknesses, it took this trying moment right there to wake him up so he could remember that, what am I born for? I was born for so much more. And when he was down and he had nothing left at all, his heart came back to God and asked for his help. He asked God for his help, and we see he was willing to give his life to use that moment to do his will. He didn't want to coast anymore, and he wanted to get back into what God had for him. And so he wanted to be alert and to serve God again. He said, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. So what about you? I believe God has a promise for each and every one of you here in this room. He has something for you. Maybe you were once on fire for God and alert in your faith. Maybe you were. Maybe you let the Spirit lead you, but now maybe because of something in your life, maybe something happened that maybe you're kind of coasting off. You don't know where you are anymore. Maybe it feels hopeless. But I want to encourage you that God still has something for you. Don't give up. Maybe because of those things, it's getting blurry and you're just getting by. Instead of being alert, being aware of the dangers that might come from the dangerous road that you're on right now, we need to remember God's promise on your life. Get focused again. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be awake and be sober. Ask yourself, what has made me coast or sleep? Or what is getting in the way of God's call on my life? Is this pushing me towards God, or is it pushing me away from God? Is this healthy? For me, it has been the desire to get married. You know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's good to have those desires. It's good to have those dreams, those wants. But when we let it become like take over us, when we start putting all our focus on that one thing, it can be dangerous. I believe with all my heart that God is going to fulfill that promise for me, but in his timing, his way, not my way, not the way I want it or the way I think, but he needs to be the God, the rock in my life. So I started to put all my trust and my faith in wanting to make that happen in my last relationship, that I was willing to do whatever it took, you know, to keep that. I started to lose sight of God's call on my life. I was coasting. I had even started to let go of physical boundaries in that relationship just to keep it from dying, because I thought, you know, oh, I can change that person, or it's going to get better, or, you know, but I started to lose sight. I thought it was fighting for love, but I started to lose sight of what I was really wanting to pursue from the beginning. I praise God that I woke up, that I seen what I was doing, and I knew that I needed to make a change. I had to do something. It wasn't healthy. This isn't right. And I knew that at that moment, it could kill God's promise for me. And so I ended my relationship, and I was ready to fight again. I was ready to do whatever it took to get back onto track, from fasting to falling on my knees to just spending more time with the Lord, surrounding myself with, you know, people that love me, and just trying to get back. Sometimes I think we need to own our own mistakes. We need to realize what we have done, but then we need to realize too that we have a Father that loves us no matter what we've done, and it's not too late to come back to him. And we need to just ask him for help. You know, he's there with his arms wide open. Since I had done that, God has just been opening doors for me. And I know it's because my heart is his again. And I know he can do that for you as well. God is so faithful, and he's so good. So I just have a little takeaway. Coasting in life can lead to death and failure, but being awake can lead to eternal life and fulfillment of God's promise on your life. So I believe I have 2 points for you. So point number one is, it'll be up here on the screen here soon. Identify what's making you coast. What is making you coast? What is making that blurry, God's vision for you on your life? Is it a relationship? Maybe you're hanging on to hurt. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Maybe you need to forgive somebody else. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's pleasure. Maybe it's even your job. Maybe it's consuming you that you're not able to come to church or, you know, just have that relationship with God. Whatever it is, anything that's getting in the way, identify it, you know, own it, see what it is. And then number two, do what you need to do to wake up. Do whatever it takes that's going to get your focus back again. And sometimes that means pushing things away. You know, maybe you need to find a new job. Or maybe you need to get just better boundaries in your life. Read your Bible more, pray more, fast, fall onto your knees. Maybe let go of a relationship. Maybe that relationship's not healthy. Maybe you need to just ask God, start asking him to change your heart, to reveal to you, God, what is getting in the way? Find some new friends. Get on your knees. And maybe next weekend, you know, what a good way to get baptized if you haven't been baptized yet. You know, just saying, God, I'm all in. You know, my old life, all this crud, everything, God, you are going to take it. And you are going to turn that mess into a message. And let me just to start living for you now. So maybe think about getting baptized. You know, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, why not take that step of faith to declare it? And maybe to get baptized in the Spirit. But maybe for some of us, maybe we just need to believe again. Maybe that's all. We let that, our faith just kind of crumble. And maybe we just need to believe again. We need to refresh it. Recall the things that God has already done on your life. That's right here, right now, what you have, your blessings. Just look at those. Go for a walk. Clear your head. Clear your mind and your heart so God can fill it again. Dream again. In Ephesians 5, 13 through 14, says, "Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." What if in church, as the body of Christ, we started to wake up in our faith, in our own individual lives, to believe again, to see God's promise and God's heart for each other, to love each other? If we had the faith that God would fulfill his promise for the church. Now, if you're like Samson and you already have, you know God has a call in your life and you have a relationship with God, but maybe you've been walking, you know, with one foot in. You know, you're trying to do life like this, but it's not working really good. I mean, you can do it for a little bit, but you're gonna stumble a lot. So what if you started to walk again with two feet, the way God intended, to refresh it, to get back to what God has for you, to just believe in him again? Don't give up and do whatever it takes to keep believing and have faith that God will be faithful on your life. He will. Don't give up. He has something for you. Now, I want to talk to you here today. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've never heard it. Maybe no one's ever shared the gospel with you, or maybe you've been hurt by somebody. Maybe you did when you were a kid, or maybe you've been hurt by a church. I'm here to tell you today that God loves you. He died for you. You. No matter what you've done, where you're at, Just know that God is there with his arms open wide, ready for you to come. You know, you can do life on your own. You can. But with God, it's so much more fulfilling. You have a purpose. And it's good knowing that you're not alone. You're not alone. God's there with you. That he's the Father waiting for you to come home. So I say to you today to put away your fears, take the step of faith, and to let him in. You won't regret it. It has changed my life so much. And I wouldn't be here today if I wouldn't have took that step of faith to believe in God, to trust in him. He has changed my life, and I know he can change yours. We're going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. God, you're a good God. Lord, forgive us in the times that we know we need to be closer to you. And God, we let those things get in the way. God, I just pray right now that you would just open our hearts. God, we thank you. Refresh us, God. Help us to have the faith again. Lord, help us to walk with two feet. God, to be alert in our daily lives to just identify what's making us coast, that's getting in the way, God. Just revive us again. Help us to remember that you are not finished with us, Lord. As we still have a breath in our lungs, God. You still have a plan and you have a purpose for us. And we trust in you, Father God. We give it all to you today, Father God. Just refresh us, God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. If you haven't given your life to Christ yet, I say, why not? You know, don't run anymore. It's okay. God's there. He's not there to judge you. He's there to love you. And so I'm going to go ahead and just say a prayer. And I'm going to ask everybody just to repeat after me so everybody just kind of feel comfortable. And God knows where you are. He knows your heart. He knows. Just make it your own prayer, just with your whole heart. God hears you. All right, so go ahead and repeat after me. Dear Father, thank you for loving me. God, open my heart to what you have for me. I die to my old life, and I ask you to come into my heart. Let me to know what it means to follow you. Help me to trust you, to turn to you when times are hard. Give me faith to push away things that are getting in the way. I give it all to you today, God. Show me what the next step is. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Amber. I'm going to have Jay and Gina, if you'd join me up front, and Amber, why don't we have you come over this way? And if you need prayer this morning, they're going to be here. Daniel's going to lead us in this chorus, Heart of Worship. But if that was you this morning, you were praying that prayer for the first time, or maybe you just needed to get you were coasting and God woke you up, right? And got your attention this morning. If that's you, if you would just, I think just to pray through and to pray with one of our people up front here would be great for you to solidify that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's sing that chorus together and make your way up. Why don't you stand this morning? Amen. Praise God. If God was speaking to you this morning, make your way up here. Amen. God bless. That's good. Amen? Amen. Good word, Amber. I just remember you talked about your opening illustration, just being sleepy. And I remember driving with my sister. She's just a year younger than me. We would drive back and forth from Alaska to North Dakota for college. And we would, if you drive it like 12 hours a day, it takes you about 6 days to drive it. We would drive it in 3 days because we'd just drive it straight through. We'd take turns driving and sleeping. But I remember driving through the night a few of those times and just being very sleepy. And then one time I drove through that area during the day and it's kind of like, whoa, not a good place to be sleepy because some of those go over the edge and they'd never find you up in British Columbia and stuff like that. But God needs to wake us up at times, doesn't he? And maybe today was your wake-up call. Maybe it was your wake-up call saying, hey, wake up. You know, just as I said earlier, just with those people in the accident in Branson, you know, I don't know if they knew God or not. I don't know. We just don't know. I mean, you can take precautions. You can do everything right. And if it's God's time to take you home, you need to be ready, right? You don't know when that time is. We need to live each day knowing that our heart is right with God. We live in His grace and His mercy. And thank God for each day that He's given us and live it to our full extent. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Next Sunday, water baptism. If you need to be baptized in water, instead of going to the office, I'm going to have you just come to the front row here. I'm going to take about 5-10 minutes of your time. Just make your way up front here. And I got some paperwork. We need to go over a few things. And then sign up in the back there to bring a few things. So I think Bob, whatever you had for hamburger, if you'd write that on there so that we kind of have an idea. You kind of told me, so write that on there. There's a place for that. So if you would do that. And get that sheet filled up before you leave today. So, Kat, your job, okay? Sign-up sheet for the picnic, okay? You get to fill in whatever it... Oh, you probably need it. You probably need it. Every year, yes, every year. All right. Amen. God's good. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you. If we made that commitment this morning just to either accept Christ for the first time or just to rededicate our life, Lord, we just thank you for that opportunity. And we rejoice, Lord. As the angels in heaven are rejoicing, Lord, over the one life or the two or three or four or five that have made that commitment to you, Lord, heaven rejoices. Because it was for that reason that Christ came. It was for the joy that was set before him, the salvation of you and me and the world, that he endured the cross. That's what Hebrews says. And Lord God, we're so valuable to you that you were willing to go to the cross for us. Amen. Lord, go with us this week. Protect us, watch over us. Let us be a light, salt and light to the world around us. Let Christ be evident in our lives. And let us bring as many people along with us to heaven and to know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. We give you the thanks. We ask it in your precious and your holy name, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. All right, shake a hand. Tell them, wake up. All right? Wake up if they're not awake. God bless you. Sign up. Baptism up front.